Evening, brethren. Part two. A little bit of recap. I was born in a Muslim family. We immigrated to the United States, and I was running into the followers of Jesus, who has promised to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I ran into a man named Thomas in Omaha who was witnessing to me. I wanted to test his God and show him he's wrong about his Jesus. I didn't know the Bible says, "Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God." Thomas had led me to Malachi, where God says, "And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts," concerning the tithe. And I was prepared to tithe 10% of one paycheck in order to show this Christian Thomas, who cared for me and loved me as he followed Jesus, show him he's wrong about his Jesus. And here I was now at his church. They went up onto the stage. They sang melody. They sang in their hearts. They spoke to one another in psalms and spiritual songs. They sang and they made melody in their hearts to the Lord and with their mouths too. And it was incredible. I sat in the auditorium of that church. It was a midweek meeting. It wasn't even a Sunday. And they sang to their Jesus, and it was just as beautiful. I'm not even sure it was as beautiful as it was here tonight, but it was powerful. There was a presence in that room that I couldn't put my finger on. I remember not realizing what it was, but sensing it nonetheless. Well, it was what Jesus said, "Where any two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." But I couldn't discern that. A fish can't tell what's going on. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So I simply concluded this must be the most amazing musicians and musical performance I've ever seen in the whole world. These people must be the most gifted musicians in all the world. And here they are on the stage in Omaha, Nebraska, of all places. I was amazed. I thought they should have invited everybody to this. No, we should be inviting sinners to come hear the singing, to hear the preaching. After they sang, they came down from the stage. I had been absolutely amazed at what I had seen. Thomas came up to me and said, "Ali, what'd you think of that?" And I said to him, "Oh, it was all right. You didn't tell me you could sing." Brothers and sisters, why do fish do this? We must heed the lesson from Jesus' illustration that "I will make you fishers of men," that the unsaved are like fish, and fish do not encourage fishermen, no matter how amazing the fishing is. What fisherman comes back from the shore, his nets full of fish, dragging a mountain net of fish behind him? And what did you do? You wouldn't believe it. They were cheering me on. On the other hand, what fish comes back from the shore with an empty net, dragging it on the ground like Linus drags his blanket in the Charlie Brown? What happened? They were happy to see me. Fish don't encourage fishermen, and we ought not to look to the fish for encouragement. Sure, ask them, "Where are you with the Lord?" Sure, ask them their prayer requests. Sure, take their spiritual temperature in the evangelism. But don't look to them for encouragement. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So even though the performance was incredible and the Spirit of the Lord was there, as Jesus is in the midst of where any two or more are gathered in his name, I didn't admit that. I just said, And they sat down and they had a little meeting in that room. And after, or actually during the meeting, as I was sitting there with them, they passed around what I believe was a money tray or a bag. I think it was a tray. They passed it around, and this thing was making its way to me. And I thought, that's strange. I wonder what that's for. And if you remember, I had come to that church to tithe that night, to test God according to Malachi. I looked at Thomas, and Thomas looked at me as the tray was coming to me, and Thomas did one of these. Wink, wink. Like, here's your chance. I realized, oh, right. And I took an envelope out of my coat pocket. I had calculated 10% of my paycheck for that week or that 2 weeks, whatever that pay cycle was. 10% of my paycheck I'd calculated to the penny, probably after taxes because I was pretty cheap. I was a cheapskate. And I put that into that money tray, and I thought to myself, that's the end of this Jesus business. I care about this Thomas guy. He's nice. He gives me rides. He understands how awesome I am. He serves me. So I'll show him soon enough he's wrong about his Jesus and his Malachi. And now that I've given the tithe, I've tried me now in this. I've done it, says the Lord of hosts, and that no window of heaven was open to me. That's what I was waiting for. Do you think I ever got the chance? Before I move on and tell you more of the story, I'll share with you. At a midweek meeting, who passes around the money tray or the money bag? Nobody does that. I have a theory that Thomas had gone to them and said, listen, a Muslim kid is coming. He wants to test our God according to what it says in Malachi in the Old Testament. When he comes, just get the money tray, pass it around, make sure he gets it. He wants to test our God. Let's get out of his way. And so I remember I went home. Thomas gave me a ride home. And I was thinking to myself, how long should I wait before I tell Thomas you were wrong? I did the tithe. I tested your God. No window of heaven opened. It's all the same, Thomas. Jesus is no different. Whether you believe in Allah or God, it's all the same, was my viewpoint as a Muslim, which is wrong. And I thought to myself, how long should I wait? A week or two for no window of heaven to be open? Well, how long should I wait? But wait a minute. What if a window of heaven could have been opened? I'm pretty broke. I could use some money in my life. I left Wall Street in the middle of the meltdown, not collecting a paycheck because of that disaster. Here I am, Nebraska. I could use some money. And there was that other company before Wall Street. I worked for them. They owe me $4,000 in unpaid wages, at least. They never paid me. Maybe if the windows of heaven could open, I could see that money. This had all happened before Thomas. Thomas had no idea of these crises. Just like the men who followed Jesus got to see Jesus walk about all Galilee, teaching and preaching and healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. The disciples who followed didn't know all the issues that had happened in the lives of the people they were about to meet. But it was all there for the glory of God. Lord, did this man sin or his parents that he's blind? Neither him nor his parents, but for the glory of God. Here's what happened is Thomas didn't know that I'd worked for this company. They owed me $4,000 plus in unpaid wages. I had filed a case against the company officially to the New York State Department of Labor. I had given them signed affidavits, an entire case open and shut. I'd mailed all the paperwork to them with eyewitness testimonies signed, and they would not do anything to collect those wages for me. I would call the New York State Department of Labor. Thomas didn't know about any of this. I would call them and I would say, what more do you need? And I kept calling and calling. And finally, the lady at the New York State Department of Labor said, we need one more thing from you. I said, anything. I'll mail it to you. She said, stop calling us. They'd had it with me. I told the lady, you just tell me when to call you. Should it be a month or two, three, four, 5 months, a year, two, three, 5 years? I will wait and call you when you say. She said, maybe never. It was a bureaucracy at its worst. I give them credit. They're probably better now. God bless them in Jesus' name. But boy, I was discouraged. I took that as they're never going to get my money from me. They're never going to do their job. And this was months later, I meet Thomas. And here I am waiting to prove him wrong according to the Bible, that the Bible's not true as my belief as a Muslim. And now I was broke. And I needed a miracle if I was going to see that money. I remember thinking of this. I don't believe I'm ever going to see that money. I don't believe the windows of heaven will open to me. But this Thomas kid, he's convinced. He said, try my God with $20. You'll see he's different. No, it's not going to work. And I need Thomas to be wrong anyway. Oh, but I need that money. But I want Thomas to be wrong, but I need that money. And I kind of went back and forth in my apartment like a madman. You ever seen fish in a fish tank? They go left and right all day long. Finally, as God directs schools of fish, children cast the net on the right side of the boat, and he sent them a harvest. My heart settled on this. Let Thomas be right for once. I need the money. But I'm never going to see it. I'd need a miracle. The New York State Department of Labor said never. I should at the very least go before God in the way of Malachi and make a business deal with him. This was my Wall Street thinking. Fish have funny ideas. And so I decided I need to go in the closet, because when I was hanging out with Thomas, the Christians said they go in the closet. So I went into the closet of that studio apartment I lived in there at the time in Omaha. See if I can move one of these so that you guys can... never mind. What's that? This one? Oh, that's the secret. Never mind. I got one. Here we go. Here we go. I guess I didn't need it because the stage is already elevated, but... So I go into the closet of that studio apartment, and I kneel down, but I didn't do one of these. I didn't face Mecca. I was oriented however that closet was. I thought to myself, it's weird. Christians pray in closets. I didn't know about this. But here I am. And I said, Lord or God, I don't know what to call you, but I suppose you know why I'm here. The New York State Department of Labor said, never. I'm never going to see that money they owe me. So I've come, because I'm never going to see it anyway, I've come to make a deal with you. If you get that money for me, I'll give you half of it. Is that a good deal for you? Windows of heaven open? And that was the end of that. I came out of there that night. I used to think to myself, what arrogance I had to go before God and offer the King of all creation 2,000 measly dollars. But you know, a brother in the Lord who was way more mature than me set me right. He said, Ali, when we look at the Bible, we see God likes it when men and women come to Him with requests and prayer. It doesn't bother God when men approach Him. What bothers God, according to the Bible, is when men don't come at all. In fact, I was an unbeliever. Concerning believers, the Lord said, I looked for one to stand in the gap, and I found none. That's what bothers God. That week, the phone rang. Mind you, the things you do not see that are happening in the lives of fish, as you are following, preaching, teaching, sharing the gospel, praying for the fish, Jesus is fulfilling His promise in ways you don't see, because He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's so hard to see what's happening under the surface of the waters, isn't it? Scarcely can you even see the fish. That week, the phone rang. It was the New York State Department of Labor. Oh, that was a miracle in and of itself, calling me. They said, are you Ali such and such? I said, I am. They said, are you at such and such address in New York, New York? I said, no, I'm not. They said, where are you? I said, I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, in a suburb there called Bellevue. And the lady said, what are you doing there? I thought she was going to make fun of me, like my bosses on Wall Street did. I thought she might even say, are you climbing trees, getting up there with six packs of beer? Like my old boss on Wall Street had said, you'll become a hillbilly. I can share with you, dear saints, and profess the goodness of God. I would live in Omaha 10 years from that point on. Never saw a single tree with a person in it. But I was a spooked fish, yet God was working. She said, what are you doing there? And I said, never mind, lady, what difference does it make what my address is? You won't even look at my case. She said, a matter of fact, we have, sir. And we need an up-to-date address. I said, why? She said, we're ready to mail you a check. I was floored. One moment they had said never, and after I went into the closet to face the God of Malachi, she said, we're ready to mail you a check. Windows of heaven poured out a blessing. Pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. The Lord had led Thomas concerning the scriptures. I said to the lady, I was in such shock, I said, can I ask how much it is? It was the first thing out of my mouth. She said, sure, let me take a look. She found the check. She says, here it is, sir. We will be mailing you a check for $8,000 plus. It's either $8,240 or $8,420. We have the check stub to this day, to God's glory. And I remember a light bulb moment went off there. I remember where I was standing in the room, and the light bulb moment and the thought to accompany it was, this is the God of Malachi. This is the God of Thomas. I imagine those who followed Jesus and saw him worked miracles, and by the way, we are in Matthew 4, they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he calls two other brothers. They leave the boat and their father and follow him. What do they see? Verse 23, same chapter, it's just two verses later, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of disease, all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Thomas was teaching the gospel to me, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and Jesus healed me of the $4,000 that was missing. And I imagine when they saw Jesus do these miracles, many never forgot it as long as they lived on earth. I was standing right there. That tree was right about there. Jesus was standing here. The blind man was right there. And I never forget what I saw after that. I remember where I was standing in that bedroom when that lady said $8,000. You know, many saw. Jesus told them, if you don't believe me, believe on account of the works themselves. They witness. Some believed, but some doubted. Immediately after that light bulb moment, doubt set in my heart. I said to the lady on the phone, "Lady, I can't believe this. I've waited all this time and you have the wrong case. They don't owe me $8,000, they owe me four. At the most, five or six with interest or maybe overtime too." I said, "You have the wrong case." She said, "Well, hold on, let me call you back. I'll check everything." She called me back. She said, "Sir, I checked everything. Is this your full name?" "Yes." "Is this your case number?" "Yes." She said, "Well, that's a unique case number. They all are. This is your case. Let me tell you what happened. We looked at your case. We ruled judgment in your favor." He ruled judgment in my favor. Because a fisherman was praying for me. I didn't deserve favor. She said, "We ruled judgment in your favor, and then we penalized that company. We punished them for this. We said, well, let's charge them interest. And we don't charge 3% interest. We charge 18% and change interest. We don't compound our interest on an annual basis. We compound it monthly. 18% interest compounded monthly. That's a credit card interest rates." She said, "Your money is $8,000 and change, but we don't have an up-to-date address." I don't think I ever gave someone my address so quickly. I gave her my address, and I remember just thinking about this, thinking, this can't be. There's no way this is really happening. Sure enough, a check came in the mail, $8,000 and change, the first miracle I had seen, exclusively in Jesus' name. I should correct that. It wasn't the first miracle. Several times God had prevented me from death, but we know why. That I might come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I never knew why as a Muslim. Today I know as a Christian. That I might be saved. I was swimming down the river of Islam. Swimming down the river of a New York Wall Street man. Swimming down the river of being a proud Persian nationalist. Whatever you want to call it. All these rivers terminate in the same place. The lake of fire. The Lord sent fishermen to my path. Kept me alive long enough that I might meet them. That I might see these miracles. Thomas, I went to Thomas in a rare moment. Now I'll warn you, fish don't encourage fishermen. That's why Jesus uses that illustration. His illustrations are perfect. But I went to Thomas in a rare moment of a fish conceding, admitting. I went to Thomas, I said, "Thomas, you're not going to believe this. You know, did you realize what's happened?" And I told him the whole story. I said, "The closet. I went to the closet because I know you guys go to the closet. I went to the closet too. And this is what happened. I said, I'll give away half. And it's become $8,000. Can you believe it?" I watched Thomas's face. And what crushed me was he wasn't surprised like I was. He rejoiced, he smiled like so many of your faces tonight, but he wasn't shocked and amazed like I was. In fact, he said something to the effect of, "Ali, that's my Jesus. Would that you would know him." And Thomas said, "And by the way, Ali, what did you pray that you would give away half? Do you see what my Jesus has done? This is a direct, definitive answer to prayer. He has doubled the 4,000 little figure you thought you might get to over 8,000 so you can give away half and suffer no loss from that 4,000 figure. You would think, well, this is obvious. Surely a Wall Street man had caught on to this. My reaction? Why? This is a multiplication of two. There's little ones here that can do this. You see, fish, these things are spiritually discerned, and it's not about the mathematics, it's about the working of God. And fish, concerning anything spiritual, they're really low down there. Everything flies over their head. We have to make it clear to them. And Thomas said, you see, Ollie, this is why they call my Jesus a God of grace. You only deserve the four. He gave you as much as eight. That's my Jesus, the God of grace. Then Thomas was looking out for me, and he said, now what are you going to do with the 4,000 you promised to give to God? Are you going to give it to God? I said, yeah, I'll see to it. He said, well, which church, which charity, are you sure you're going to do this? I said, yeah, yeah, don't worry about it, I got this. He was afraid, like we often are as fishermen, that God will do the miracle and the fish will go off and squander it. And it's true that God had in great grace doubled the 4,000 little figure, as much as 8,000 was now there, and it's also true that fish are dark. I found greed enough in my heart to keep all of it. Oh. Why are we surprised when we find out fish stink? Why does that shock us? Why do we expect fish to behave like fishermen? Yes, it is heartbreaking. Yes, it broke Jesus' heart too. We're not 10 healed. Where are the 9? And at these junctures, it's like, why even continue? This fish has totally ruined it. God will no longer work. Do you understand how shaky that theology is? It is predicated on this, that the sinner is so wicked, he can corrupt and change God. From a working God, my Father in heaven is working till now, to a God who will no longer work. That's faulty, faulty doctrine. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible teaches over and over again, sinners can't change him. He changes sinners. That's why we're all here. I'm here to profess to you tonight the goodness of God as you continue to fish, that even when the fish completely squanders it, he can't change Jesus. Jesus will continue to work, just like he did with the 10 lepers. 9 didn't come back. He continued to work and do miracles and went to the cross and completed the mission and gave to you the great commission to share it. They couldn't change Jesus. We have to remember that he's always working, right? He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He doesn't say, follow me and when I'm discouraged, I'll give up. He doesn't say, follow me and doubt whether I will continue to work. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Yes, it's terrible that text actually concerning the tithe, the portion of that chapter, even begins with these words, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And it's true that I took that miracle money and I robbed God. But that wasn't the end of the story. Look where I'm standing by the grace of God today. After my salvation, much later, I remember driving down the highway at some point, and the Holy Spirit would convict me. I owe God $4,000. And the conviction was so strong, I pulled over on the side of the highway. I found the parking lot eventually, and I got on with my iPad and the 3G network. I found the charity and paid that money off. Drove away right as rain. A fish caught is now a fisherman, able to do that which is right, but we cannot expect that of the fish itself. I remained a robber of God for another 2 years or so, and I watched God, while I had robbed him, continue to do miracle after miracle in Jesus' name alone. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Because these men left their nets and followed him, they saw Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. We do that now. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we do that now. And healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. He does that now. He always has. I saw so many miracles and answered prayers in Jesus' name that Thomas was thinking, surely this kid is about to believe. But I got jealous. Why does it never happen in Allah's name? Why does miracles never happen praying to Allah or even asking Allah in Muhammad's name? No miracles ever happen in that way. And I didn't want to ask Thomas this. It would have admitted defeat for Islam. So I just swam away without a word. Fish are good at that. You ever seen a fisherman say, Mr. Fisherman, you almost caught me, but we need to talk. I'm going to swim away from you, and here's the reason why. That conversation happens never. Ever. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Right? And so they didn't know. Thomas didn't know why I was avoiding him. His church that had ministered to me didn't know why I was avoiding them. It was simply because their Jesus was superior, and I didn't want to admit it. And I was jealous about it, angry about it, so I swam away. Thomas was discouraged. I can't imagine his thoughts. One moment, this fish was almost getting caught. God was doing miracles. The next moment, he won't return our texts and our phone calls. Why? Why not? I'm sure that never happens to you. Be encouraged from where God has put me today to preach to you, to encourage you. I would avoid Thomas. I got promoted at work. I'm skipping over much of the story here for the sake of time. I got promoted at work. Thomas was long gone. He'd left the company at this point. They told me, Ali, we're promoting you. We're putting you on an all-star stock brokerage team within the company. I said, of course you are. They said, Ali, we want you to pick someone to shadow. You will shadow this person and learn from them. We have a panel of people, some of the most gifted, talented people in the company who are subject matter experts in options and bonds and whatever, you name it. You pick whoever you want. And if you want to pick someone who's not on this panel, pick anyone in the company. We might still approve it as the person you shadow. I said, okay, I'll pick someone. I'm a good judge of character. I'm an Iranian Persian Muslim New Yorker. I'll pick someone. I looked closely at these different individuals, and I picked somebody, Dan Ginn. I told them, I want to shadow Dan Ginn. They said, okay, go to his desk. I had no idea. I had just asked to shadow a youth pastor. I went to his desk, and he wasn't there at the moment. At his cubicle, they said, oh, you want to learn from Dan? Just pull up a chair at his desk. I sat there. I looked at his name tag, Dan Ginn, derivatives risk specialist. Huh, that's fancy. You know what it should have said was youth pastor. It should have said attending the local assembly. It should have said student of the Bible. It should have said run for your life, fish. It said none of the above. Is that the pattern in God's word or isn't it? And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. That was like my Thomas. Do you know what it says immediately afterward? The immediate next verse, going on from there. He saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. He called others going on from there. You see the scene? They're all fishermen here. And that portion of the text, Jesus calls these two. Then going on down shore, he calls two other fishermen. The encouragement and application is this, is when the fish swims away from you like I did from Thomas, pray and pray that the next fisherman down shore would do their part. Out of the net of Thomas and into the net of Dan, youth pastor. I was wrestling in his net trying to wrangle free. Had no idea what I'd gotten into. Look at the comedy of God working. I want to shadow Dan Ginn. Do you know Dan Ginn's a preacher? Did God make me a shadow of Dan Ginn? Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. God does it with ease. We have to do it in obedience, believing he's doing it with ease. We follow, he fulfills the promise. So Dan picked up right where Thomas left off. They didn't even know each other. Isn't that remarkable? In the company, believers of the same family and the household of God, fellow citizens and members of the household of God, they didn't even know each other. There's so many people in that company. Dan would invite me to the local Bible study. I would come. He would say, I was reluctant to go because I was jealous that the Christian God was different. He was capable of miracles. Allah was not. Apparently there was some big difference. And the difference was somehow wrapped up in Jesus' name. I didn't want to go. But Dan said, come, you're single, you're hungry. Come to our Bible study. There's food. Are you using the bait? The bait for the fish, right? And so I would go to the Bible study. I was careful. Be careful. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to admit to them that God does miracles in Jesus' name. So I'll just come eat the food. And while I'm there, I might hear some things. I am curious. Why does God only do miracles in Jesus' name? Oh, but I'll never ask that. And I am curious. I thought the Bible was corrupted. They told me in Islam the Bible's corrupted. But how come through Malachi and other scriptures, God does these things? No, you can't ask that. Just go eat the food. I would come to the Bible study. I would eat the food, and I would stay silent. And I would come week after week. Why did I keep coming? Was it only the food? Or was it Jesus, the master fisherman, bringing me? If I am lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. God was drawing all men. Here I was at the Bible study, and I wouldn't open my mouth and ask a single question, and all of a sudden, someone else would ask a question at the Bible study. And I would silently think to myself, I had that question. That's an incredible question. I had that question. Well, what is the answer? These were my thoughts. Fish don't speak to fishermen. Someone else would open their mouth and say, oh, that's a great question. Here's the answer. It's in Romans. And I thought, that was an incredible answer. Then someone else would ask a question, and someone else would give an answer, and I thought, that was a good question. That was an incredible answer. And someone else would ask a question, and someone else would get an answer, and I thought, I kind of had that question. That was a really good answer. Who's it? That Thessalonian? And after week, this scene would play out, and I began to think to myself, how did they get inside my head? How do they know what I'm thinking? Dan must know what I'm thinking. And Dan must be telling them what I'm thinking. Oh, I know what they're doing. They must be getting there because I'm the last to get off of work. Dan tells them I'm on that late shift. They know it. I'm the last one there. So Dan must be telling them, quick, get ready. That Muslim kid is about to come here. Here, here. That's the first question he's thinking. He won't say. It's in his mind. Here's the next question. Here's the first answer. Here's the second answer. Second question. Second answer. Third question. Third answer. Everybody got their questions? Everybody got the answers? Here comes the Muslim kid. Shh. Go. Go. That was my conspiracy theory. After my salvation, I would confront Dan with it. And Dan would laugh just as you're laughing. He would say, Ali, we didn't know what you were thinking. What you're describing is what we call the leading of the Holy Spirit. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow means someone will lead. Unbeknownst to them, God was leading them in perfect together cohesiveness and corporately sharing the gospel and disarming each doubt I had concerning the Bible and Christianity. They had no clue. In fact, if they were watching the fish, and some of them were, they would have become nervous. I didn't speak much at the Bible study. At one point, an elder's wife said, "Let's let this young man share something. Do you have anything, sir, you'd like to share?" Though she was older and I'd been raised, respect elders. Muslims must respect elders. You answer older people when they speak to you. I left her hanging in silence, to my great shame, because I didn't want to admit the things that I was seeing. Fish don't encourage fishermen. But my silence, if they were watching me, they would have been discouraged. Why is he so quiet? Another moment in that Bible study, one of the sisters had asked a question we had just covered. She said, "Well, I was always curious about such and such." And I was tired that night, and we just covered this, and I opened my mouth, and I said, "Didn't you hear the answer? We just heard there, whatever he was sharing in the Bible. We just went over this. What a foolish question." In the Bible study, the whole room from the Bible study and the little chatters and the discussion, the whole room went, shh. And with the silence, I knew I'd done something terribly wrong. Thought, apparently you're not supposed to chew someone out for asking a question at a Bible study. Fish don't know. But do you see, if your eyes were on me, you would have gotten scared. Some of them were getting scared. They were piecing this together in all the wrong ways. This fish doesn't talk to us. This fish is scary. Single male Muslim from the East Coast. This is like FBI profiling stuff. Nobody really knows him. No one really knows where he's from. No one really knows his background. He wants to come to a Christian gathering. He doesn't want to participate. He just totally told our sister off in front of all of us. He's making his hit list. And have you heard Dan? Oh, Dan. Well, we're happy Dan's bringing him, but Dan, what are you doing? Have you heard what Dan did? He's now taking this Ali out on the weekends, teaching him how to hunt and shoot guns. Dan, brother Dan, it's time to shut down Camp Al-Qaeda. If you watch the fish, the enemy will have a field day with you in your mind. To this day, we joke because one of the elders' wives, they had a ranch. An elder and his wife had a ranch. They invited the saints to come out there in Nebraska and bring their guns and shoot. And Dan had got me into hunting and shooting, and here comes Ali with his own guns. And we had all shot and shot our guns and left afterward, and that elder's wife had said to her husband, "Honey, am I right to understand that was that Muslim boy with his own guns here on our own property? He knows where we live, and he's been shooting on our land already." To this day, we laugh about it. We're supposed to be ready to lay down our lives. And I have wonderful things to say of that sister. She would be one of my moms in the faith after my salvation. Her and her husband would plant and water in my life so, so lovingly. Why do we look at fish? What's there to be gained? Are we not to run this race looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, trusting that he is making of us fishers of men? We got to be fishing. We got to be casting the net. The Lord, we do all these things. The only way we don't look at fish is for encouragement. Eventually, they were very discouraged when I checked out of that Bible study and didn't want to come back. And again, as fish often do, I didn't tell them why. Here's why, though. I'll tell you tonight. After their discussions and question and answers for several weeks, they decided, "We want to take up a new topic of study." Someone else said, "Yeah, let's do a new topic." Someone else said, "I want a new topic, too." And someone said, "Apologetics." And someone else said, "I could use some apologetics in my life." And another one seconded and third and so forth. And they agreed corporately, starting next week, apologetics. And I, as a silent fish there, thought, this will be interesting. I'm coming next week. I had no idea there's apparently an art about how to apologize. I'm coming. I started coming the next week, and they started their apologetics series, Apologetics Through Biology. No apologies. Apologetics Through Astronomy. Apologetics Through Archaeology. I was shocked to learn there is a blueprint that archaeologists use to find an ancient lost city in the Middle East. It's that book right there, the Bible. Oftentimes, the archaeologist isn't even a believer, but they know that blueprint is accurate. That shocked me. Archaeology through different means, presuppositional apologetics, all kinds of apologetics. This went on for weeks, and I was fried fish, and I never heard an apology. Eventually, I remember sitting there in that Bible study thinking to myself, this is the truth. I've got a real problem now. If I continue as a Muslim, I will always know that I'm living a lie. But if I want to believe this truth, my life will have to change. I could lose my friends and family members. I'm not ready for this. And I swam away without a word. Dan would ask me, are you coming? No. The saints miss you. They're wondering when you're coming back. I'm not sure what they missed about me. The closet terrorist suspect. I imagine it was in the image of Christ was their behavior. They were following Jesus, loving the sinner, praying for him, even desiring that he be coming, just as Jesus did. We covered this morning at the worship meeting in the area of the Gadarenes, they begged him to leave their region. I can't imagine how that broke Jesus' heart. Brothers and sisters, I swam away and I avoided them. Dan would ask me, what else can we be praying for you? If you're not going to come, give us your prayer request. I'd say, nope, I'm good. Nothing. Don't need it. I never told him the truth. The truth was this. Fish don't speak the truth too often. The truth would have been this. Dan, I've given you every prayer request I have. You and your friends have prayed, and God has answered every one of them. I'm out of prayer requests. I'm just swimming just to swim. I'm running just to run. God changed the seating arrangement at work. They seated me next to a man named Kevin Dahlke, born-again Christian. Who's in charge of the seating arrangement? Do you know his name? Somebody's pointing upstairs. He's the same guy who says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's in charge of the seating arrangement. Kevin's witness was perhaps the weakest out of the three, and yet some faithfulness. He would come to work. He'd say, I'll leave my pastor preach this weekend. You got to listen to this CD. He would give me things like that. Eventually, I avoided Kevin as best I could. It was difficult. He was seated right next to me. And then another person would come. And pretty soon, I thought to myself, I didn't know this, but apparently the entire state of Nebraska is a born-again Christian state. This was my conclusion, and I concluded I just need to avoid people altogether as best I can until I get to go back to Wall Street and realize my dreams. And I remember I had learned that Christianity is the truth. The apologetics was the nail in the coffin of my doubt, but I hadn't believed on Christ as Lord. I had knowledge, but I had not faith. They say salvation is just 12 inches, getting it from here into here, your heart. I wouldn't get it into my heart. I wasn't ready for that. I was swimming just to swim. And I remember I even said to myself, since Islam is not the truth, I might as well indulge myself. What's the point? And I indulged myself for a season and anything I could lay my hands on. And of course, Solomon already tried that. Vanity of vanities. Everything was as meaningless as chasing the wind. At the end of all that, I was left even more empty than when I started. One night came around October 23rd, 2010. I was avoiding all the Christians the best I could. As a fish, I had swam deep from their fishing boats. Avoid them, you might get caught. And that night I decided I'm staying home tonight. It's safe. I'm just going to watch Netflix. I turned on the Netflix app, and at the top it said, suggested for Ali, number one, the Gospel of John. Ali is a Muslim name, and Netflix is a very woke company. What's wrong with the Netflix algorithm? God is in it. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It was dark in the bedroom that night. I had dimmed all the lights, as I always do when I put on a movie, except for me, as an unsaved person, it was almost always a horror film or some terribly disastrous film. Men love darkness. I had the lights dimmed in that room, and I saw on that TV, it said The Gospel of John, and it said that I was going to love it. Netflix's rating system said you would rate this 5 out of 5 stars. I thought to myself, let me just hit play. I'm a good judge of character. I know a good movie. I love horror films. Let me just hit play. If it's any good, I'll continue. And if it's no good, I'll stop watching. I'll pick something else. I hit play. In the beginning was the Word. In the darkness of that room where I sat, light was on the television. The light of God's Word. They showed Jesus walking on earth, preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom. They showed the miracles he worked. They showed his character. It was a video Bible of John's gospel. And through those pages, lived out on the camera, I fell in love with that man. I remember when they took him in that film and began to question him and beat him, I began to weep. I remember my thoughts became very similar to the thoughts of the thief on the cross. I remember I paused that film. I could not continue watching. I paused it and I thought to myself, what are they doing to this guy? Why are they beating him? He's done nothing wrong. I couldn't continue watching. I went to my bed. I pulled out a Bible that was in a box under the bed from my days with Thomas, fisherman I'd been avoiding for over a year. I opened that Bible. There was a sheet of paper from Dan, a fisherman who didn't even know Thomas. Dan and I had had a conversation, and I had printed it out at work. It was on the messenger chatting. I had printed it out. In that conversation, Dan had said to me, don't play with God. Go to Romans 3 and then Romans 10. And I opened that Bible, tears falling in that Bible that evening. I read Romans 3, that they are all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not one. With their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That evening, the Holy Spirit convicted me so strongly. Having read these charges, I looked up and cried, I'm guilty of all of this. I had no idea that the scriptures teach if you are guilty of one, you are guilty of all. I looked at that sheet of paper from Dan and said, go to Romans 10 and do not play with God. I went to Romans 10, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I remember looking at the translation that evening. It said, confess with your mouth Christ is Lord. And how I was kneeling there, tears falling in the Bible as the Holy Spirit was encouraging me to confess and get saved, but I resisted God for a moment. I said, I'm a Muslim, I can't say Christ is Lord. And then by that same Holy Spirit convicting me, a most beautiful thought occurred. What if where I'm standing is all I have ever known? What if where I'm kneeling on this ground and it's Islam and it's all I've ever known? And what if over here on these words in the Bible in front of me, what if there's a different ground? What if there's a different world? What if there's more? I want to find out. Christ is Lord. Came out of my lips. And I believed in my heart. God has raised him from the dead. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. When I stood up that evening and wiped my tears, the Bible teaches that I stood up a new creation. The old had gone. All things were new. From that day on, life took on color. Everything I would look at, the trees, the roads, everything, all the creation had a new glory to it. For the Spirit of God lived in me. I would one by one tell these Christians I had gotten saved. Each of them would have a surprised reaction. Each of them would basically say the same thing. Ali, we had no idea you were even close. And my thinking was, I didn't think I was close either. I was just swimming away. And so many of them would say, Ali, what was the evangelism technique? What was the thing? Who was the person? They had a curiosity. Who finally got him saved? And I didn't know what to say. As a new believer, I would just say, Netflix. And each of them would slowly realize in time what had really happened. Netflix is not getting the glory. But that when this fish swam deep, away from all the fishing boats, into deep, dark waters, the arm of the Lord was not shortened such that it cannot reach down and save. And in the darkness of that bedroom, where it says, brethren, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned in the Galilee of the Gentiles. I sat in that bedroom, and in the darkness, the light on that television, the Gospel of John. That gospel says that the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it or comprehended it. It's been some 2,000 years since this promise, but I don't think it's slack in the slightest. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We're well beyond the Jordan today. But that text ends in verse 25. That chapter ends with the most encouraging verse to fishermen. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And here's the final verse. Great multitudes followed him. From Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Father God, your Son is still leading from heaven, in manifold ways, in corporate ways, leading many to the light of himself, the light of the world, the light of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we sang earlier tonight, Father, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I awoke. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be followers, for we know he will make of us even more fishers of men. In Jesus' name, amen.